Our epistle reading today comes to us from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. In this God-focused passage, Paul acknowledges human inadequacy and suffering, while also stressing the saving work of God in Christ. In the same way, the Spirit comes to help our weakness. We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself pleads our case with unexpressed groans. The one who searches hearts knows how the Spirit thinks, because he pleads for the saints consistent with God's will. We know that God works all things together for good, for the ones who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. We know this because God knew them in advance, and he decided in advance that they would be conformed to the image of his Son. That way, his Son would be the first of many brothers and sisters. Those who God decided in advance would be conformed to his Son, he also called. Those whom he called, he also made righteous. Those whom he made righteous, he also glorified. So what are we going to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He didn't spare his own Son, but gave him for all of us. Won't he also freely give us all things with him? Who will bring a charge against God's elect people? It is God who acquits them. Who is going to convict them? It is Jesus Christ who died, even more, who was raised, and who also is at God's right side. It is Christ Jesus who also pleads our case for us. Who will separate us from Christ's love? Will we be separated by trouble, or distress, or harassment, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, we are being put to death all day long for your sake. We are treated like sheep for slaughter. But in all these things, we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth or any other thing that is created. May God bless this reading and hearing of it, God's holy word.
Let us pray. We all arrived here this morning after busy weeks, and all of us, I'm sure, have nicks and dents, maybe a little bit rusty. The world has a way of taking its toll on us. So we break open your word and break open our fellowship together, and we ask that you meet us here, that you renew us, re-energize us, and heal us with your word and nothing less. Amen. And Nova, you can say anything you want. So Paul, Pitho, he was persuaded. He came to believe strongly. He was convinced of this, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, not death or life, not angels or rulers, not things in the present or the future, not powers or height or depth or anything in all of creation. Nothing can separate us, you, from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a beautiful statement. Is one of the most beloved passages in all of Scripture, and it was something that Paul, was not aspirational for him, but it was descriptive. And what I mean by that is this, that Paul did not come to write those words hoping that someday he would be convinced in the goodness and presence and love of God in his life, but when he wrote those words, he already believed. Over time and through many changes and challenges, they grew within him. And they came to a maturity of expression in Romans chapter 8 only after time and time again, through the hardships, the fullness and richness of his life, he experienced the goodness and presence and love of God in his life. And so, a long time ago, about 57 CE, give or take, Paul put pen to paper. And he wrote to an early Christian community in Rome that was experiencing some hardships, that was experiencing some tensions between Jews and Gentiles. There was some divisions and some argumentation. And he wrote to a community that was undergoing some theological transformation and evolution. And so he writes to them and says, whatever is going on in your lives, whatever is going on in your community, whatever is this world throws at you, nothing can separate you from the love of God and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul was convinced of that. So when we hear about somebody or experiencing somebody being convinced about something, that doesn't mean that we also are convinced of that same thing, does it? I mean, to use a baseball metaphor, and I might get into trouble here, but I could go down to Fenway Park this week, and I could sit in the bleachers, and I could be surrounded by hundreds and thousands of people who look at the American League East standings and see the Red Sox at the top, and are convinced that this year the Red Sox are going to win the World Series. That happens at Fenway, right? Especially after a couple of beers, everyone's convinced that this is the year again. But I could sit there and I could, you know, watch the pitching and the hitting and see the demeanor of the team, and I might not be so convinced. And I might leave quietly, certainly wouldn't say this at Fenway because I'm not an idiot, but I might leave quietly thinking, you know, maybe this isn't the year for the Red Sox. That's possible. See, at the end of the day, being convinced isn't the work for other people. Nobody can be convinced for us. And at the end of the day, the work of being convinced is ours and ours alone. So with that truth, combined with our passage this morning from Romans chapter 8, we are brought, if we allow ourselves, we are brought to a very personal and very dangerous set of questions. Having heard Paul being convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God, the question becomes for us, are we convinced of that also? Are we convinced of that when the sun is shining like it is today, but also when it rains? And it rains a lot, doesn't it? Are we convinced of that in good times and in bad, and do we live like we're convinced of it? Those are very dangerous and very personal questions for us to come upon this morning. And so rather than just dump those into the room and then to race on to some other grand sermonic point, let's linger with those questions for a little while, right? Give ourselves some time and space to really reflect on those, to ask yourself how convinced you are of the enduring love of God in your life. So let's, if you're comfortable, maybe close your eyes, take a deep breath. Invite the Spirit in, the one who helps us in our weakness. And ask God to help you reflect honestly to yourself how convinced you are of the goodness and presence and love of God. Let's take a minute. So out of the silence, I want to take a point of personal privilege and share some things that are on my heart today. As Julianne mentioned, and as most of you know, I'll be leaving as pastor of the United Church of Underhill after August 20th. And to be sure, the decision to leave has been a very difficult one for Deirdre and I. Coming after much conversation and prayer and discernment and concern about what's good for our family, but also what's good for you and for this church. Many of you will relate to this, but when we finally did make that decision to leave, our life immediately got really, really complicated, right? Whatever happens with a move and changing houses and jobs. And thousands of questions flooded in and decisions needed to be made, right? Questions about timing, about how to announce, about how best to support the United Church of Underhill, how best to support our kids, how to register for school and pick movers and begin to pack. And all of those questions and decisions just flooded into our lives. And for me, it's been a lot. I have found myself over the past few months finding it hard to sleep sometimes. Waking up, feeling some mornings like I don't want to get out of bed because there's so much that is facing me, feeling a little bit overwhelmed, feeling guilt for leaving you, who I love and care for deeply, and care what happens to you and to this place. Feeling unwilling, unable, maybe just simply forgetting to invite God into the richness of everything that was happening for me. And feeling that the fruit of that, experiencing this, and Deirdre can tell you, the fruit of this has been for me worry and sadness and anxiety and maybe some depression. And feeling distant, even separated from God. So that's real. And then this week, after 3 weeks of vacation with no real planning ahead, I opened up the lectionary on Monday morning and I'm given Romans chapter 8. And the powerful reminder that the Spirit comes to us in our weakness. The reminder of the goodness of God. The reminder that Paul, through all of the hardships, all the imprisonments, all of the transformations, all the stuff that he went through, that he was convinced that no matter what happened in his life, that nothing could separate him from the love of God. So, I read that and kind of chuckled and laughed and thought to myself, yeah, you know, Kevin, things are hard for you right now. Things are difficult for your family. Things are uncertain in some ways around the church. There are many things that you're worried and anxious about. And so welcome to the class. Right? And so remember that Paul, who had been through so much in his life, more than I'm going through, that he, not in spite of that, but because of it, he was pitho, persuaded, came to believe strongly. Oh, he was convinced that nothing can separate him from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Not death or life, not angels or rulers. Nothing in the present or the future, not powers or heights or depths or anything in all of creation, that nothing can separate him or me or you or any of us from the love of our God in Jesus Christ. And so, yes, things are hard for me right now. And yes, 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 I am reminded how I, like Paul so long ago, am also convinced in the enduring goodness and presence and love of God in my life and in your life. Oh, not all of us in this community are leaving, But all of us walked in here this morning with dings and dents and maybe some rust, joys and concerns, brokenness and wholeness, some challenges and some changes all around. Maybe for you, you share my concern about the United Church of Underhill and what this transition means for you and for our vital ministries. Maybe the news headlines and the constant stream of divisive tweets from our president, maybe they are having a withering effect on you. Maybe you've got financial concerns. Maybe you've had medical diagnosis. Maybe there are broken relationships in your life. Maybe you need a snack. Maybe it's something else for you. But whatever is happening in your life, and in this community, whatever this world is throwing at you, I hope that each of us and all of us will be reminded daily of Romans chapter 8. It's okay. Can I hold her while I finish up? Would that be all right? Maybe that would be fun. Would that be fun for us? Yes. Would that be good? So I hope that all of us will be reminded of Romans chapter 8. That we'll be reminded about how convinced Paul was in the goodness and presence and love of God. I hope that each of us, too, will become more and more convinced of the goodness and presence and love of God. And that as we do that, as we become more and more convinced, I pray deeply and passionately that will make all the difference in your life, as it has been in mine this week. So, dear ones, may you be convinced in Christ's name and for the life of the whole world.